all kinds of details about how Jesus became human, how he lived among us. And John, it just goes straight from God's point of view about what was going on, not from the human part, but from the God part. So I want to talk for just a little bit about everyday Christmas. And what I mean by that is, I don't think God ever intended to set one day aside as special. I think we should, don't get me wrong. But I believe that God wants every day to be Christmas. For us to be thinking about what happened on Christmas Day every day. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that means. We're going to read through verse 14 of John chapter 1. If you want to open your Bible, or you can read along with me. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So I want you to notice while we're on this verse that there's something in the beginning with God that we're calling the Word, and it says the Word was with God and the Word was God. So as we go down through, keep that in mind. He now it's referring to the Word as a He. Are you with me so far? He, the Word, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, the Word, and without Him was nothing made that was made. In Him, the Word, was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. So John the Baptist was here to bear witness to the Word, or to the light, and the life was the light of men, so that we might all believe. John the Baptist was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. We're not that far away. We're almost like that again. He's in the world through the Holy Spirit, but the world don't know him. A large part of the world will celebrate Christmas tomorrow, but a large part of the world won't be celebrating Jesus. Okay? They'll give lip service, but they really won't be celebrating Jesus. They won't know him any more than the people knew him when he came. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, but of the will of man, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. So who was the Word? Jesus. So Jesus, the Christ, was the Word. So in the beginning was Jesus. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So we have the stories in Matthew and Luke about how Jesus became human. John gives us the story about how God became flesh. So you take all four of the Gospels together, and we get the complete story. So John goes immediately to the point of Christmas. He summarizes the whole birth story by saying, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's the Message Bible. I think that's kind of neat. Another one says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So God gets right to the point of everything and says God came and lived among us. God came in the flesh to walk among us, to experience the same ups and downs, the same temptations, same heartbreaks. Everything we experience, Jesus experienced. So God came down. I want to look at three things real fast for us to hopefully take away from today. We are born again and then adopted as God's children because Jesus came into the world. We can be born again and then adopted. And the adopted is a legal term I want to tell you about. But the key thing is to be born again. Everyone must be born again. In John 1:12, he says, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to them who believe in his name. So who are the children of God? Those who will accept him, those who will receive him. Receive him how? As our Lord and Savior, as God who came in the flesh, as this 100% human, 100% God who lived our life and then died our death. As many as will receive that, as many as will receive that God became flesh and lived among us, to them he gives the right to become children of God. No one else in the world is automatically God's children. Just because you're born as a human on the earth don't make you God's child. You must be born again to be God's child. We are given the rights to become God's child when we believe in everything that the gospel says. In John 3:3, Jesus said, I say to you, you must, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're God's child when you're born again, when you receive the gift that God gave of his own son. In Romans 8:17, it says, since we are his children, those who have received him, we're his children, we will share his treasures. That's being adopted. So God legally adopts us so that we have all of, we're heirs of everything that Jesus Christ is heir of. For everything God gives to his son, Christ, is ours too. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. So, if I was rich and Madison was my child and I died, who gets all my stuff? Madison gets it all. But I'm not rich and you're not my child, so you don't get anything. But if I was rich and I didn't have any children and I adopted Madison, even though she wasn't my biological child, and I died, who gets all my stuff? Madison. But I'm not rich and I didn't adopt you, so again, you're just out. But God gives us the right to become his children when we believe and accept what he's done for us. And then he gives us all the privileges of being his child, just like we were born, just like Jesus is, just like we were born as his children. The second thing is we can receive his life. It says, in him was life. In Christ is life. Ephesians chapter 2 says that until you receive that life, you're dead in your sins. So you really, even though you're walking around here alive, you really don't have life until you receive Jesus Christ. In him is life. In him was life. Let me think how to say this. What do you have if you don't have life? Physically speaking, what do you have? Nothing, right? It doesn't matter. Let's say you own billions of dollars worth of stuff and your name is on it and you die. How much of it is now yours? None of it. Let's say you... let me think of some other examples. You made your way up to your dream job and you die. Whose job is it now? So without life, what do we have? In the Constitution, it says that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if you don't have life, does liberty or the pursuit of happiness mean anything? So without life, we have nothing. Jesus is the one who gives us life. We can be walking around here physically alive, but we really are not alive until we're born again. So you can have physical life and be spiritually dead. If Jesus hadn't came into the world, every one of us would be spiritually dead. There's not one of us that can be good enough or do good enough to become God's children because we've been good. Not one. In Romans chapter 3, it says there's none that does good. No, not one. We can't do it. The only way we can receive this life is to receive Jesus Christ, and He gives us life. At the end of the book of John, the Apostle John, through the Holy Spirit, said, "These things, the things that he wrote in the book of John, are written so that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing in Him, you will have life." We're here today, we celebrate Christmas because Jesus brought life. But there is no real point if we don't have life. Nothing else matters. Jesus came to give us life, period. That's it. When you celebrate Christmas, if you're not celebrating life, what are you celebrating? Right? We all have experienced tragedy. We all have lost loved ones. Right? Some of you lost loved ones this year. Some of you are going to be going through the first holidays without your loved ones. Right? And a lot of the traditions, a lot of the things that you used to do, it's going to bring up memories in it. Some of them's going to bring some tears. Some of them will bring laughter or whatever. But the reason why is because it'll be different because that person is not there. Everything will be a little bit different because they don't have this life anymore, right? But what makes it worth going on? What makes it worth facing the next day? What makes it worth going ahead and celebrating holidays? If they were Christians, what makes it worth it? Because we know they have life, and just because they quit living physically doesn't mean they're not alive spiritually. That means they moved from this world into a better one or the next one. But without life, we have nothing. Without spiritual life, there's nothing. So this period of time that we celebrate that we call Christmas is about life. It's about Jesus bringing life. That's why it should be an everyday Christmas. That's why it shouldn't be just on December the 25th. That's why it should be the 26th, 27th, 28th. That's why it should be January the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, because it's about life. It's about everything that's important is what this is about. God came to earth because He wants us to experience life. And by that He means two things. First, God wants to experience eternal life, and He wants us to live forever with Him in heaven. Eternal life. That's life. Second, in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting what? Life." Second, having... it refers not only to a future, but a present reality. We can have a full, abundant life now because Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." So, how many of you were older when you got saved? Let's see your little paws. How old were you, Paula? How old were you when you got saved? 41. 21. How old were you? 40. How old? 51. Anybody else? Somewhere along that period of time. 34? 52. Here's one of the dumber ones right here. Anybody else? How old were you when you got saved? 45. I was 21. I got smarter quicker, is what I was trying to say.
They said he paid you to say that.
Oh, didn't he? Oh, he still has to put it in here. Okay, so let's go back. All of y'all that answered that, think about your Christmases before you were saved. Okay? And then Christmases since you've been saved. Tell me the difference. Huh?
Jesus dying, being born.
Changed everything, right? What was it about before you were saved?
Presents.
Presents. Family, getting together, eating.
The glitz, the bling, the family.
Just the bling, is that what you said?
The glitz and the bling, the
yeah,
color of the
that's pretty good.
Is what it was.
Yeah, and now?
Now, it's the spiritual part.
It's spiritual, it's Jesus, Joe. Can you express, Joe, before you got saved? Joe, before you got saved, after you got saved? Anybody else? Anybody? Anybody, whether you spoke up or not. I didn't hear the first part. Yeah. And how old were you?
41.
41. Anybody else? So what I'm trying to get at is it changes your life here. It not only gives you eternal life, it changes your life here. There should be a change. There should be a fundamental paradigm. Help me.
Paradigm shift
in your thinking. Everything should just shift from what it is. Right? Everything should just move from what it used to be to what Christ is. And third, we can receive His light in our darkness. It said, back in John, it says Jesus came into the world and the world didn't receive Him because they didn't recognize Him, right? It also said He was the light of men. When you think of darkness, what do you think of? Huh?
I don't like it.
Don't like the dark. Well, we're fixing to have it really dark in here, so you might want to hang on to her hand. When you think of darkness, what do you think of? Huh? You can't see. What happens in the dark? Huh? Bad things happen in the dark. When do most of the people do bad things? Let me put it that way. The cops that are on duty from midnight to 8 o'clock in the morning, they're the ones who get most of the wackos, weirdos. Drunks, right? That's when they come out. Bad things happen in the dark, right? Jesus is what? He's the light. So what? When you think of darkness and you think of light, I'm trying to think how to say this without leading you. How do you? Which one dispels the other one? I'm going to think how to say that.
Yep.
Huh?
The light erases
the darkness. That's what she says. Y'all agree with that? So darkness is what? The absence of light. Right? So people who do... The Bible talks about deeds of darkness. People who do the deeds of darkness, what's it showing? They have no light. Right? How scary is the dark?
No, it is not scary.
You don't think it's scary? You're not scared of the dark? If you were home by yourself and all the lights were out, your mom, dad wasn't there, and you heard something outside, would you get scared?
No.
I remember when I was a kid, I'd hang out till after dark, and then I'd start going home. Y'all ever do this? The closer I get to the house, the faster I go. Till pretty soon, I'd be in a full-out sprint, dead on, and I could just hear the burger man behind me. And I'd run up to the door and get to the door, and I'd stop and catch my breath and open the door and walk in like, no big deal. Belva's telling me about one of her duties as a kid was to lock up the chickens, and she would goof around and wait till after dark. And what would happen out in the chicken house? She'd call all the cats and dogs and get them to come along with her. Darkness is not good. That's what we're trying to say. Jesus came to dispel the darkness. Look at this. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness doesn't comprehend it. The darkness don't get it. People who are in the dark don't get it. You understand? That's why when you can bring the light to them, what do they tend to want to do, a lot of them? They want to blow it out. They want to reject you. They don't want the light in their world. Matter of fact, it goes on in John and says, they hated Christ because he brought light into the dark. And if they hated him, what will happen to you? They'll hate you also. John 8:12 says, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Light. God came to earth so that we can escape the darkness. Even the darkness that's inside of us. How many of you know you have some darkness inside you? How many of you know you're capable of some pretty bad things? What does it take to keep the darkness from coming out? The light. There is no... Listen, read that verse with me, that part. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no power inside of us strong enough to resist evil and the temptations all the time. There is no other way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We do not have inside of us what it takes to resist the darkness. It takes Christ to resist the darkness. We can't do it. It's just not in us to do it. One more thing, and we're going to move along here. One reason we continue to experience darkness as Christians is because we have not given all our areas of our life to Him. We've allowed light to penetrate some areas of our life, but not all areas. We compartmentalize our life into sections. We don't allow God to have the whole enchilada. We have different little parts that we keep, and then we wonder why those trip us up, right? Jordan and Lexi's going to take over, and we're going to do this candlelight thing, and they're going to explain this process to you, what we're going to do now. You want to?
I'm going to read for you some selected scriptures this morning. But as Brother Allen preached on, there are some characteristics of the darkness that we know that I may not need to remind you of, but I want to say some things about the darkness first before we get into the candle lighting portion. This is not a poem. This isn't anything I found. I just wrote down scripture after scripture after scripture, continuing times when we talk about what the light truly is. And so I'm going to read several selected scriptures as if it belongs in the same paragraph or in one run-on sentence. So I'll do the best I can to make this make sense for you. But I think this will be great in reflecting upon Christ Jesus as the light of the world. The characteristics of the darkness, are we going to have all the lights out? All the way? Can we do that with the children? First of all, characteristics of the darkness. The darkness represents idolatry. Idolatry, bondage, blindness, foolishness, confusion, and ignorance. It signifies utter despair. It signifies a palpable feeling. And as we can see in the room right now, there is a palpable feeling where we see only fragments and cracks of light peeking through the windows. Where darkness consumes the world, it brings confusion and it brings corruption. And the darkness seems like that's all there is. And we see in Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet Isaiah foretold about the coming Christ, the coming Messiah. And he says, "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, for you, those who lived in the valley of the shadow of death, a great light has appeared." Okay, now I can read it. "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light." Now, here's what we're going to do. Every time that I say the word light, we're going to light someone else's candle. And as your candle has been lit, the next time I say light, you light someone else's candle. Okay? "To those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, to them a great light has shone. Jesus came into the world," John 1 records, "and this baby in him was the light of life." In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus begins his ministry as he begins preaching to the people before the wonderful Sermon on the Mount. He says, in repetition of Isaiah 9's prophecy about himself, "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have now seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From then Jesus began his preaching ministry, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So as he begins his preaching ministry, Jesus comes forth and says, "Repent, his kingdom is here." And it's about that kingdom that's coming for us, where the light appears. Jesus says that this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. "And people had loved darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does things, wicked things, hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out by God." Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus saying this statement to the Pharisees. He says, I am. This is one of the seven I am sayings of Jesus, declaring that he is God in the flesh. This is what we call a tetragrammatron statement. In the Hebrew Bible, you would read the word Yahweh, I am. Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, and I'm playing on words here, and my burden is light. Matthew 5, he says, you, church, not individuals, not one of you, not singling yourself out among the crowd, but you, church, are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all unrighteousness. However, the God of this world has blinded the mind of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to the other. For this comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Now, to the King eternal, immortal, God, the sovereign King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be the glory and honor and power forever. Amen. As we wait for the blessed hope of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. City on a hill.
If the light's still out, if we start blowing these out row by row, look at how it's going to change. So everybody on these, all three sections on the front row, blow out your candle. On the front row. All three sections on the front row. The second row.
The third row. The fourth row. Fifth row. Sixth. Seventh. Eighth. Nine. Ten. 11, 12, everybody turn theirs out. What an impact. Dennis, are you there by the lights? Yeah. What an impact, amen. Jesus was the light. Amen. I remember when I was in darkness. I didn't know I was in darkness. Before you were saved and you were in darkness, did you know you were in darkness? I didn't know I was. When people would try to tell me, you know what I would do? What did you do when people tried to tell you? Yeah, who are you to judge me? I'm just as good as you are. You church people, you hypocrites, you stay away from me, right? I didn't recognize the darkness. I embraced the darkness. You did too. It took God working in us to want us to come to the light. Nobody comes unto God on their own. God does that. I praise God that we set aside a day to celebrate Christmas, but I would more praise God if everybody would celebrate Christmas every day for the light that we have. Amen?